Hello and welcome to
The Heart of Healing Show.
I'm your host, Natasha Slayton.
And I'm your co-host, Sophie Starr.
Join us each week as we explore the magic of alternative healing modalities, what they are, how they work, and the parts that have helped us.
We'll be interviewing world-renowned healers and experts within different fields,
all the while sharing personal stories of pain and perseverance. So tune in to tap into your true potential and learn with us as we dive into a world of possibilities.
Have some laughs.
And some cries. And ultimately, get to the heart of healing. Hello and welcome back to our show. We have missed you guys so much. We truly had so much fun recording the episode that you're about to listen to. And the topic that we go into is all things intuition, how to cultivate and develop that intuition within ourselves, as well as what it truly, truly means to be psychic. We also go into some of the taboos around the subject, and we're just overall really honored to be able to have this discussion with the absolutely incredible Chris Cahill. Thank you so much for being here with us today.
I'm so happy to be here. Thank you for inviting me.
Oh, thank you. So honored you said yes. You sent me an incredible introduction, so I'm just going to read it to give the audience like a little bit of an idea about your backstory. So Chris is a clairvoyant reader, healer, and psychic teacher. She's the director of the Art of the Seer training, which is a clairvoyant training offered by the online Art of the Seer Academy. She's also a lifelong artist, an abstract painter, and makes colorful, energetic paintings. As a psychic and psychic teacher, she likes to remind clients and students that their spirit is an artist and they are the art.
Ooh.
Pretty freaking badass, if you ask me.
Yeah.
And I've actually worked with Chris, and
really?
That was a very, very special experience. So, yeah, and I've had some friends that have worked very closely with her as well. All beautiful things to say about you. So, again, thank you so much joining us today.
Yes.
I'm so happy to be here. Thank you.
Yes, thank you. Okay, so I have a question to just like go right out the gate. When we're talking about like psychic as a person, what is the actual modality that's being used? Because I know clairvoyance is mostly to do with like vision, but it's sometimes used as a general term. And then there's like intuition. So how do we differentiate or clarify that terminology?
There are many ways to be psychic, and everyone has the ability on some level or other, you know, whether it's that gut feeling you have, that sort of sense of just know, you kind of feel it. And that we call clairsentience. And that is located by that's an ability that you have within you. And it's contained within your second chakra, but you can really have it within your whole body. It's a feeling, and everyone's really aware of that one. Like that's the most common, I would say.
Yeah.
Intuition can be a part of that too. But intuition can also be more of a communication, like fifth chakra, and then a knowing that can come in. Like, I just know this. I can't explain it. It doesn't make sense, but I know it. Clairvoyance is the ability to see energy clearly. And it has nothing to do with predicting the future. I think predicting the future is actually pointless.
Right, because timelines are constantly changing.
Look at how many people predict the future. I mean, weather, finances, business, all kinds of things. And often they're wrong. And when you're using your abilities, like, you know, clairvoyance, seeing, looking for energy, you're getting information that helps you change what you choose. You know, there's also clairaudience, which is the hearing, it's fifth chakra again, but it's being able to hear energy clearly. There's mediumship, which is really very much a higher level spiritual ability, not better, but it's like located in a higher part of you. And it has to do with knowing, but also communication with spirit, finding your own truth and communicating with other spirits. And people who work as mediums, who channel, work with other energies. And if they do it really in a very clean way, they get a lot out of it. You know, it's a good thing.
Wow. That's incredible. I love that you're talking about like the placements too of each sort of type of clair, if you will. And it's interesting because like I always associated the clair sentience with the solar plexus, but you're saying it's more of like the second sacral chakra area.
Yeah, it's generally speaking, it's located in the second chakra. That's where that ability is. But you might also feel a lot of that.
Like feel it in your gut kind of thing.
You feel it in your gut because your solar plexus, that's your third chakra. And that can be a place where you handle a lot of demands about what you do with your energy.
That makes sense because then it's like the second chakra is the feelings and the emotions. Mm-hmm. So then the sentience. And then also you said with intuition, you were saying it's related to the fifth chakra, which is the throat area. But then I had previously thought and associated that with like the third eye. So that's really interesting too.
Well, and they work together, you know, so you might, it's not even like you're necessarily compartmentalizing. None of them compete with each other. They work together. So you might have an intuition that you're used to then using to kind of look at the energy. And that's your third eye. Yeah.
Okay. So cool. So do you have one that you like primarily feel most attuned to? Are we usually born with like one or two?
Everyone has their own like way of doing it. Everyone has a different camera lens. Everyone's seeing a different way. Even a whole room full of clairvoyants, and I'm a clairvoyant. I trained as a clairvoyant, and I find it fascinating. To me, it's one of the most interesting ways to work. Yeah. But that doesn't mean I don't think that somebody else who's getting information in a different way is doing it wrong. You know, but everyone has their own thing that they're kind of leaning toward. You might just be born more sensitive, you know, all the empaths out there, people who are just more empathic, or they're just more kind of feeling the energy more, you know, they might really that they're feelers. Mm. I have a few students who, and I see this in my clairvoyant training, students who learn how to, during their training, start to work from, rather than just going in and feeling the energy, which can get kind of messy because you're wondering like, okay, is this all mine? What am I getting? Looking for themselves. And it's not something else looking for them. It's them looking. It's them learning to turn on and see. And in order to do that, you kind of have to turn down sometimes those other parts that are loud, like the feeling.
Oh, wow. That is so cool because I very much resonate with like the clairsentience and sometimes the claircognizance and the other ones, you know, they'll peek their head out at me every so often, but like not as often as I'd like. Are there, so you delve very deeply within your classes with like the training the abilities to increase the functions of these other clairs?
Well, and clairvoyance in particular, we're a clairvoyant school.
Ooh.
But look at the time we're living in. We've been living in a time of clairvoyance for a long time. I mean, there are cameras everywhere. We are filming this, you know, not only for a podcast, but for YouTube. No matter where you go, there is vision. Yeah. People are seeing iPhones or, you know, smartphones, or it's just a whole different time. So we've really moved into this time of seeing, and it's been a long time, like whole generations now in this.
Yeah.
You know, I was born into the late, like post-boomer, kind of right at the fourth chakra. That was turning on. That was affinity and love and all of that, which we have. But we're really working on developing this ability of not just communication, but then seeing.
How do you
communicate what you see?
That's so interesting. I'm curious, as you're talking, I'm learning so much already because I didn't know, you know, that this ability was broken up into different, you know, clairs, to use your language, Natasha, and how they all work together, and that everyone has different like inclinations towards some of these types of work. And I'm curious, I never had the language for it before, but I've always had this like knowing about things where I can't explain it and I have no reason, but it'll be very specific. It'll be like, this person is going to do this and I know it for a fact, or this is going to happen like this. And it's funny because over the years, I would always be like sharing these things with people. And even though they were true, they were like, can you pipe down? Like, we don't want to know, like, what you're, especially with friends, like your boyfriend is gonna, and they're like, no. So I'm wondering, I've kind of had to learn, like, what can be the purpose that we use these abilities for ourselves if we're not working in this and people always don't want us chiming in? How can we use these abilities for our own lives?
You are wise to ask that, because you asked yourself that. You started realizing that it wasn't helpful. And believe before I ever took a meditation class years ago and then started on this path of learning how to turn this on consciously, I was that person. I was like healing everybody and it wasn't working. You know, it was making me sick. I was actually getting exhausted and tired from that. And when you start to, you can see information for other people, but a lot of them may not want to know it. It really is for you, but it's also more than that. You know, as a, I mean, I'm kind of going all over the place here and you can reel me back in if I get off topic, but what you're doing is you're starting to become conscious of, well, how can I use this for me? Mm-hmm. You know, how do I use it for me? And the way that I see it, the greatest clairvoyant ability of all is the ability to see yourself. And you can't see anything as a clairvoyant without non-judgment. That's one of the first things we teach students is how to work from a space of non-judgment. Because if you judge it, whether you're judging it as good or bad, like I expect it, you won't see it clearly. You won't get the information. And it's not like you're walking around in judgment. I'm not saying that, Sophie, but you get to see you from a place of non-judgment. And I mean that for all of us. It changes everything when we can see ourselves.
That's so beautiful.
Yeah, profound. I mean, yeah, Chris, like that is, I think, a lifelong, you said that so well, and I think that's a lifelong journey for all of us with this ability to reflect that inward. And where do you think that comes from in terms of like, you know, having this sense of like, I can't see it for myself. It's harder. Maybe this is just me, but sometimes it seems harder to use my strengths for my own life. And it seems so second nature with others. And I'm like, what is that?
Oh, and I understand that one very well, because especially for healers. And I would imagine that just about every healer you'd ask this, no matter what modality they work in, they would have a similar, maybe a, their own experience of this, of the demand as healers, because you care, you already have compassion, you already see there's pain, you already see there's a need on some level, and you want to go make it better.
Yeah.
And that can also be agreements in a group, whether it's a family group or a friend group or wherever. We make agreements all the time. We're often not conscious of agreements we make. They're spiritual agreements. Mm-hmm. And when you become conscious of the agreement, that starts within you, where you might say to yourself, oh, I don't want to do it that way anymore. You're kind of changing the agreement within yourself, changing how you look at it. And then you start directing your energy more toward yourself. And all of a sudden your abilities are getting to work more for you.
Totally. Mm. And your abilities probably increase, you know, all across the board too. And this reminds me of like when you want to heal someone else, but it's like you can't show up fully to help that person heal or be an example for that person until you're able to go within and heal yourself first. Mm-hmm. And I also think of like a really funny example that's a little bit more mundane than like what we're talking about now, but like with my ex-boyfriend, like we both had messes around the house at certain times, you know what I mean? But I would always go to clean up his messes first before I would ever clean my own, because for whatever reason, since like the mess and the clutter is sort of associated with your frame of mind and your emotional state, I could never deal with my own, but I could always deal with his. And he was like, stop touching my stuff, Natasha. Like, go clean up your own stuff. And it just reminds me of that.
And that's a joke we have in clairvoyant training too, teachers, which is, you know, saying like, that's why we do this in a group. Like, it's really hard to teach clairvoyance to somebody one-on-one. They need other people because the students are always reading each other. They're learning how to look and they're learning how to do it. And it's a lot of fun, but it's information. You learn how to do it by looking at other people and then you can see yourself. But our joke is, oh my God, you've got that great big thing sitting on your shoulder, that big whatever, but you don't see your own.
Yeah. Right.
You know, it's really hard to see ourselves. Yeah. We're the hardest thing to see.
Oh, that's so true.
How do you increase, like, I know we're not going to have like a full class, and right now I really want to take a class with you or multiple, but like, how can we start to see ourselves better? How can we start to increase these abilities?
The first thing I would recommend is if you really are interested, take a grounded class, like a grounded, there's a class we teach called Psychic Essentials, which is 5 weeks. And it's grounding? How do you have your space? Like starting to work with energy awareness in a more conscious way with body and spirit. So that's a technical way you can do it. Like if you want a thing to do, that's really, really helpful. And that already starts to turn things on. For everyone, I would say have a meditation practice of some kind, one that helps you get in your body. These abilities work best when you can bring them in your body. And many of us are used to being so sensitive that it kind of has us leave the body. And we teach it in a way of, no, get in. And it's harder to get in than it is to get out.
Absolutely.
So when you start to work with meditation, you get in more.
Oh, that absolutely. And I'm so glad that you touched on coming back to the self and back to the body, because that was going to be a question I wanted to ask you was, with these abilities and with all of these things, I know sometimes it can cross over, especially if a person has experienced trauma. I know that hypervigilance can be a trauma response, you know, being hyper aware of surroundings and this and that. So it kind of sounds like maybe I was going to ask how to differentiate between the two. What are these abilities and honing these abilities? What's a trauma response? Do you think that it's like getting back into the body versus dissociating from the body?
Well, what happened, and I love the way you put that. What happens when people start to get back in their bodies is they're facing the energy that moved in, and that can include trauma and whatever. It can be unconsciousness. It can just be energy that piled up. It can be other people's pain, whatever the person's sensitive to or whatever they've taken on. And when you start to move back in, sometimes what you hit is that stuff. And that's where grounding comes in handy, and learning and having tools to kind of move it out. Because it might take a while sometimes. Mm-hmm. I'm never hard on somebody who can't get in right away. I'm always like, take the time you need. Mm-hmm. But here, try this. Here, move it out this way. Say hello to it. You know, there's different tools that there's so many tools to use. But I also see it as this is about self-love. You know, and energy that's in your space that's not you can often make you feel very invalidated or wrong, or that you're unsafe. And it's little by little, you getting back in, it really makes a difference. When people start to find their own energy, when somebody really wants to have that, they're not going to want to let it go again, because it's a whole different feeling from this. Your own energy doesn't hurt you. Never. Your own energy is not destroyed by what you experienced. You just misplaced it or put it away, or maybe left it out of yourself to protect it. You start to get it back in, and it changes the whole game.
Has there ever been a time in your life where you felt like you were a bit separated from your own abilities?
Oh, yes, definitely. I didn't always know that I had abilities, but I had them my whole life. And for me, the separation was in making other people more important in my space than I was. Like really trying to heal and take care of and manage people who now I don't even talk to anymore. Like the toxic ones, wow, they're gone. And I don't mean everybody who I don't talk to anymore is toxic. I just mean, I can see I'm not living in the same city. I don't, you know what I mean? But I mean, there were people who, and that was my lesson to learn. That was something that I don't feel victimized by. I just feel like, oh, right, I needed to learn that. Yeah. That was my path to becoming how I decided to do this. I didn't set out being a psychic doing this. I'm an artist.
Ooh, how did you know? Like, how did you come into realization that you had these supernatural abilities?
Well, I was tired of being in pain and sick from everybody's junk. I was just knew something had to change, something it wasn't working. And I, of course, and I didn't know I was doing this at the time, but I had put it out there. And meanwhile, I had a show of my art. As I lived in Chicago at the time. I had a show of my paintings up. And this woman called me and said, I really love your work. And I run a psychic school here in Chicago. I said, what? There's a psychic school in Chicago? Are you kidding? This is 1999.
Oh, wow.
I'm like, I had no idea. And she said, I'd love to get this painting. I wonder if you'd like to come in and maybe take a trade, do a trade for a class. And for a reading. And I said, well, I'll come meet you, because I was suspicious. Like, oh, let me just, I don't know.
Yeah.
And I went in and I really liked her and I liked the school and I liked the energy. It just felt right. So I took a psychic meditation. It was called psychic meditation. And then ended up in clairvoyant training within 4 months or 5 months, like as soon as I could get into the next one. And I never looked back. I knew halfway through clairvoyant training that I wanted to teach. It just became, it was like that. I was like, nope, this is what I'm needing to do right now. And never stopped making art. I mean, I took a break for a while, but it, to me, those two things go together. This is an art form. Being psychic is an art form, just like being human is.
Absolutely. And you don't have to have one without the other, you know? And it's like they totally incorporate. I'm sure like even creating art in the traditional sense is something that even strengthens your ability because you're like giving over to that creativity and that inner vision and those feelings. So that's so cool. I love that this found you and it was just like, nope, here you go. This is your destiny. We're going to use one to lead you to the other.
Yes.
I thank you for that. And it was also, it was part of me was saying, I can't keep going the same way I've been going. I have to change something. I don't know how to do that. I need help. And I'm such a good control freak that, especially back then, that it was really hard to get help. I had to like figure it out.
Wow. Good for you. Yeah. Like killing it.
That's such a profound statement that you made. I need help. I think even in relationships, that one phrase of like, it can kind of, when we're fighting with people or warring with ourselves, and it's like an olive branch of like, I need help. Maybe you have something to offer me. I feel like it opens up this whole new world. So it sounds like that kind of moment of like, oh, I can't keep doing this really allowed you to step more fully into who you are and into this work that you're doing.
Yes, I had to stop being stubborn in one direction.
Oh my gosh, feels.
I'm so good at being stubborn.
Me too.
Me three.
It can be a very positive ability though too, right? Because you can also see it as persistence.
Totally. And like standing your ground.
Yeah.
And not taking no for an answer.
No for an answer.
All the things. Yeah, but sometimes
I'm
totally.
I'm going to make this work.
Yeah. Yes.
Yes. Speaking of making things work, like, and going back to what you were talking about and about training your abilities and finding out that you have them, is there a practice that you do consistently to sort of stay in the zone, if you will? Or is it gotten just like more of a second nature type of thing for you?
It's a practice because, you know, energy changes all the time. Another joke we like to make is, you know, whatever problems you have before you start this class, you'll have a completely new set of problems by the end. Because the energy moves, so you move through things, which means there's a lot of growth, which means that sometimes what worked a month ago isn't going to work the same way today and you have to update it. So, but in, you know, a direct answer to your question, I have a daily meditation practice. I have a reading, you know, I have clients, so I work with people all the time and I'm creating new readings all the time. I'm going to be launching my creativity reading for April. I'm so excited about that one. So I'm always doing stuff like that. And because I'm the director of this training at this school, I'm working with students. I'm working with students on many levels. I'm working with my fellow teachers. So we read each other. We're always looking at the energy. Like that's the thing that clairvoyants nerd out on. We're like, let's look at the energy. Okay. And nobody's judging it or fixing it. We're looking at it. We know how to move energy. Really, when you start to be able to see it clearly, you can also move it. That's what changes. You're not controlling it. We don't have control over other people's energy. And people who think they do that, I'm like, well, I don't know. How are you? The practice is in working with what I work with every day. So I can't, because of the work I do too, I can't get away with going a day without having something. You know, I have to do a thing.
Yeah, absolutely.
More.
But. Yeah. I mean, that's such a great way to live too, just in daily life, is just knowing that everything is constantly changing and you're having to reevaluate yourself, the situation, and adjust and move through in a non-judgmental way, like without the ego and just,
Absolutely. So beautiful. There's a saying that is helpful, I think, sometimes. Like, what helped me today won't help me tomorrow always. And it's like, because tomorrow brings a new set of circumstances and I'm a new person. And it just makes me more interested in your work, because it's like then having one of these abilities to tune in to the ebbs and flows and the changes sounds really helpful. And I mean, obviously, with your courses and your classwork and everything that's going on, if someone doesn't have access to a class or a training, are there little ways day to day that we can kind of hone some of these innate abilities? Or what would your recommendation be?
I would recommend communicating within yourself. And that's something that I often have people do at the beginning of a brand new meditation class too, is just have them say hello to themselves and hello to their bodies. And how often do we even do that? Like that hello to your body, or hello to where's the pain? Just hello. And you know, that a hello, we teach as a clairvoyant school, the way to say a spiritual hello to someone. You're saying hello to someone's spirit, which is a hello, I see you, not you should do this or you're that, or I see you, you know, not, it's not control. It's not judgment. It's a hello. And that moves energy. Just saying hello moves energy.
Wow.
It's really interesting. It's like physics. Hello, I see this, and like I'm aware of this. And as soon as you become aware of something and notice it, it changes.
Even just talking to you, it's just so apparent to see and feel that you come from a place of such love and, like you were saying, non-judgment and truth. And it's a very comforting and loving feeling in just being in your presence and being able to have this conversation with you. And I'm wondering, like, the term psychic is so widely misunderstood, abused, misused. What would you say to someone who might be afraid of the word psychic, or someone who may not be fully familiar with what a true psychic actually does and represents?
Thank you. And I want to say right back at you. Oh. It's so lovely just to be here and talk about this. And it's so fun. The energy is beautiful. You're welcome. Thank you. When I look at being a psychic, I don't like to define as what a true psychic is, but the original meaning of the word is of the soul, of the spirit, of the soul. It's not about making predictions or trying to control anything or change anything. And due to many, many circumstances, some of which are so lost to history over the years, it just started getting such a bad rap, a bad name. Also, the sort of the people moving away from their bodies and from the land and from spirit, and having to adhere to a particular dogma or way of believing. And that whether that is a religion, or it's money, or it's, you know, an economic system, or it's business, or it's whatever it is. Somebody, whoever's selling what they're selling, might want you to know what they know and not find out what you know. Like, the greatest psychic ability is the ability to know yourself. So clairvoyance, to see yourself, but they work together. So I would say that, you know, the people who are still playing a karmic game in the psychic world, who are still playing a control game or demanding somebody predict their future, like they just can't do anything without that, they're not really saying hello to themselves, but it's where they're working right now. Like, that's what they're learning. That's what they're working. And I don't actually cross paths with them ever. I don't have clients who want their futures predicted, because those people don't come to me. Because I will say no. Like, which future do you want me to look at? How many? Oh, wait, what choice are you going to make? Say hello to your spirit. You know. So then the people who the unscrupulous ones, the ones who kind of do play a game or talk about curses and stuff like that. I mean, people can have energy thrown at them all the time and handle energy. It's a much more powerful thing to really be able to work from your own spirit. When something else is telling you it knows more than you do, or someone else is saying they know more than you do, you're not looking for that yourself. And that might be part of what you're doing in order to get to a place where, you know, like, it might be part of what someone is doing, experiencing. We've all done it in lifetimes of I don't know for myself. I need someone to tell me. Mm-hmm. And you can see that kind of playing out in a culture too, on a planet where some people are starting to create a new picture, new way of being, new way of living, and some want an authoritarian. And that's who knows what, who gets to know for you. Do you need someone to tell you what your answers are, or do you want to actually do the work of looking? And that's kind of scary.
Yeah.
Not anarchy. It's actually the opposite. It's a way of working from your truth, which is not, my truth isn't the same as yours. I'll never tell you that your truth should be a certain thing. You have your own.
And that's so healing, like to get back to yourself, to learn to trust yourself. We're so misguided by society and just the way that we're usually taught to be or think or feel. And for those listening and for us too, like how can we integrate learning to trust the self and increasing all of our awareness on every level to really aid in our own healing as well as the people around us?
Well, when you do your work, no matter what it is, I just wrote a blog post about this yesterday. Mm. It's like, and it's called "Please Make Your Art It Gives to Us All." Because whatever the art is someone's making, it might be a beautiful salad, you know, yeah. It might be a garden, it might be a painting, it might be whatever, but it's that spirit of you that you're working with, that you are choosing to bring forward, that you are choosing to come from. And that's how you get to know yourself. I think that just my view of it is showing up to do the work every day. Mm. And you don't have to prove it to another person, but that becomes healing for other people around you, because you become, even without saying a word, you become an example. You're changing your own vibration when you start to work more from what's true for you.
I just got full body chills.
You're so right. And I feel like maybe for me, I forget that so often. Like, but as you're describing that, I'm thinking back on instances where, let's say I've been really taking care of myself and really feel good and really checking in, like you said, saying hello to my spirit and my body. And I'm thinking about instances then I've done things with family and I'm like, oh, it's so weird. What a coincidence. Everything's going so well. And like, we're all, you know, and then it's like, I'm not connecting that maybe it's because I'm really, you know, in a great place and nothing about them is different, but the lens through which I see them is so different. And then I think maybe from what you're saying, it's like they're feeling that and responding to me differently inherently, even if they don't know it, which is so cool because that's so empowering, because then we have even more agency over our own lives because we are the only ones we can control.
That's beautifully said. Agency is a great word too. No matter how hard we try to control others, I mean, you know, it's a masterclass, I'm sure.
Yeah. So
how do we do this? But it's you. I mean, and you don't have to be perfect to do that. It can be, nothing has to be perfect. It can just be that you are resetting a tone inside of yourself. So back to agreements, you've just changed an agreement within yourself about what you are going to be. And then others will line up to that. It's like they don't even know it. They will match to the thing you show them, or they will resist it. Sometimes people resist it and they're like, no, we're all in pain over here. You can't be happy. I've experienced that with some family members of my own where I'm like, okay, knock yourselves out. I don't know what to do about that. Yeah. And Mark is, I'm not healing it anymore.
Right.
So it changes, you know, you change and then others do adjust, or the new ones show up too. Because new people can find you because you're moved out of an energy and you moved into another, and they can find you.
Wow.
Isn't that fun?
I just love this so much. Yes.
It's so fun to talk about this.
The most fun. You guys, I'm having so much fun.
I am too. I got to tell you.
I am too. And side note, so unrelated, Chris, you look and sound just like my mother's best friend, Gail, who is such a wonderful woman. I love her so much. And I find myself just feeling like so excited to be talking to you. And I just thought that was such a strange connection.
Oh,
but I'm like,
that.
Oh my gosh, Gail, are you here too? So thank
What's
you.
I might know her. Who knows?
Yeah. Long lost twin.
Yes.
Is there anything else that you want to add?
Yes. I would really like to say that one of the things, I know I've brought this up in several ways, but then when you start to see your abilities as an art form, as a way, like as material that you work with, things that you can use to create your life, which I think you guys are already getting into, you know, as well, you're already both into, it changes the world. We change the world. And there's something, and I wrote about this in the same blog post, is still all over my head today, but that a lot of us healers and psychics handle energy when we go to create something for ourselves. It says, but you need to spend your creative ability fixing and healing and solving the world and stopping the wars and cleaning up the pain and doing all of that stuff. So on a bigger scale, there's a demand to not go beyond what exists. You know, this is sort of the evolution, the time we're in now, creating new pictures, making new pictures. How do we want to live? And it changes from within each person. No one person's responsible for it. This isn't about saying, I'm going to go, you know, lead a group of people and we're going to go do this. No, it's from within. It doesn't mean that it's solo. Doesn't mean you have to be all by yourself, because there's still work to do in the world, you know, to show up and to care about things and to vote, please, yes. And all these other things. I mean, psychics live in the world. We are not separate from it. And I am very interested in that kind of thing. And how do we create a new planet? How do we create a new world? I don't have control over, you know, stopping bombing. However, I have a lot of effect on it by how I change me and how I create and what I show. And that takes vulnerability, like the ability or the willingness to be vulnerable and to be seen in a way, like show your work or talk to people or show up as that psychic and healer, even if you're just using it for you, but not hiding. Mm.
That's just such words to live by. Mm-hmm. Chris, thank you so much for joining us and sharing all of this with us. I mean, what a pleasure to talk to you and learn from you. And I just want to say to anyone who's listening or watching, you know, if you want to strengthen your intuition, or if you do want to get a psychic reading of any kind, like, please do your due diligence and research who you're going to. Make sure you're putting your energy into someone that is grounded in truth, is grounded in love, has your best interest at heart, and who knows themselves, because now we know, like, how important that is. And is there anything else that you would add to that, Chris, about just being careful with who you work with?
Well, one thing that I have heard from many, many clients who just found me by looking for me, they did an internet search or whatever. They're like, I just liked your energy.
Yes.
And so people who are looking for a reading, if they just have, you just like the person's energy or you're attracted to it, not because someone you know went there or and liked them, or because, I mean, it's nice to get reviews. I love it when people send people to me, and that usually works out. But go look for yourself. You know, what do you want out of your reading? You know, what is it you're really wanting to have?
What a great way to train your intuition too.
Yeah.
By, like, trusting yourself in that way, yeah, and listening to the energy.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Where can people find you?
They can find me. You can find me at chriscahill.com. And that's Chris with a K, K-R-I-S. And I know it'll be in the show notes.
Yes.
C-A-H-I-L-L. And then I also have a website that's my art, chriscahillart.com.
It's beautiful.
And Art of the Seer is artoftheseer.com.
Incredible.
And we have a lot of information. I have blogs on all of those sites. Tons of information written by teachers at Art of the Seer about being psychic, about working with your abilities. So if you go to the read page, which is where the blog is, you'll see that. But it's just so fun. So
I encourage everyone to sign up for the newsletters as well, because I still get your newsletters like every single week, and every single one is incredible. All of your blog posts are so, so in-depth and provide so much healing. So thank you so much for continuing to share in that way.
You're welcome. And thank you for bearing with me because I took a year off.
Oh, yes. Yeah. I mean, you know what? Thank you for taking the year off that you needed so you could come back to all of us in your fullest form.
Yeah. I took a year off, not from working, but from blogging and from my newsletter. But now it's all back. I recreated. Let's Perfect. Just say I recreated.
Love.
That I can't wait to sign up.
Please do.
I will.
It's so good. It's so good. Well, thank you so much.
Thank you, Chris. Thank you.
I really, really enjoyed this. Thank you for inviting me. I am really happy I got to be here today. Oh. And good luck with your show. It's just wonderful that you're doing this.
Thank you so much.
So thank you, everyone, for tuning in and hanging out with us today. We'll definitely be doing an after show, so keep a lookout for that. And follow Chris, like, stay in touch with her, get into her work. We will be linking all of her sites and all of her contacts in the show notes, so you can find all the information there. And we'll see you next time.
Bye.
Bye. Thank you so much for hanging out with us for this episode.
We hope you gained some valuable insight and maybe learned something new.
If you enjoyed the show, please like, subscribe, and leave a review. And don't forget to follow us on social media at The Heart of Healing Show.
Till next time.
Mwah.